From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. President Obama campaigned on it. He ordered it closed on his second day in office. Yet in the near twilight of his two-term presidency, President Obama is still talking about closing the detention facility in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Its cages, its jumpsuits, its legal black box, the nearly 800 people sent there since 2002, the 91 still there today, all have made the world shudder. Yesterday, the president offered up a new plan to finally close the chapter on Gitmo. This hour on Point, the president's latest, maybe last push to close the Guantanamo prison camp. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. What do you think? Is it time or not? Will the president get it done? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. He has called for this closing countless times. Here he was in Washington yesterday.
If as a nation we don't deal with this now, when will we deal with it? Are we going to let this linger on for another 15 years, another 20 years, another 30 years? If we don't do what's required now, I think future generations are going to look back and ask why we failed to act when the right course, the right side of history and of justice and our best American traditions was clear.
Pushback from Republicans on the campaign trail in particular, immediate and also clear. Here's Donald Trump in Nevada.
I watched President Obama talking about Gitmo, right? Guantanamo Bay, which, by the way, we are keeping open, And we're going to load it up with some bad dudes, believe me. We're going to load it up.
Ted Cruz saying something pretty similar. So did Marco Rubio. Joining me first today from Washington is Kathleen Hennessy, White House correspondent for the Associated Press. She's been covering the politics around this story. Kathleen, welcome to On Point. Thank you very much for being here.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Is there something new in this plan? The Defense Department has put it forward, the Pentagon, the president taking the time and the national attention to lay it out yesterday. Does it have new elements, Kathleen?
I wouldn't say it has a lot of new elements. I think it is a new moment to mark for the White House. I think it's important to sort of understand some of the background that led to this, to the plan. I mean, it was first required by Congress. This was there have been lots of folks on the Hill who've been saying for years and certainly for months, if the president wants to close Guantanamo, he has to present a plan and a path for how it would work. They put that in legislation. It was due yesterday. The White House just and DOD just barely met the deadline. And so the president did have to actually put forward this presentation. I think he also is thinking a lot about sort of last chances in his final months in office. And there is an attitude in the White House that, that on everything that he has promised, and this is a big unfulfilled promise for him, that he's going to give one final last push. So I think it was a moment he wanted to just have sort of for the record, for his legacy, that he tried one more time. There is also a lot of speculation, mostly speculation at the moment, that he may make an effort to do this executively, go around Congress and try to close the detention center without congressional approval. And I think if indeed that is the direction he's headed, this is a step that sort of demonstrates that he has put forward a plan and that Congress has rejected it and he's left no other choice.
There are 91 still imprisoned in Guantanamo. Under the plan the president laid out yesterday, what would happen with them?
Under the plan, there are about 35 of those 91 who have already been cleared for transfer to some other country, which has basically been the White House strategy on this, that they've been trying to whittle down the numbers throughout the president's administration or tenure, so that essentially you get to such a small number that that it's just difficult to keep the prison open. It's just not cost effective. So they would get the number down to about 60 under this proposal. 35 would go overseas in the coming months, they said. And then some number around 60, up to 60, would come into the U.S. Pentagon did not identify a specific site, which is a point of contention, but identified the kind of site that might be feasible. And they would be brought into a DOD-controlled prison or facility and kept there, some possibly forever. Some of these folks are the folks that have been determined to be too dangerous or cannot be tried because some of them were tortured and their testimony might not be admissible. But they would continue to be reviewed, I guess, and the possibility of some sort of military commission or trial is still an option. But they would essentially, this is one of the criticisms, is some of the groups looking at this say this is just sort of moving Guantanamo north, and that the legal status for these folks would not change and their prospects for release would not change.
You say it'd be DOD, Department of Defense controlled facilities, but would they in effect be in existing supermax prisons, and some portion of that would be carved out for technically DOD oversight of these prisoners? Is that the idea?
That is, yes. Yeah, basically. Some of, you know, there are options. There was not a specific site identified. So there are, it's still sort of a menu presented. But yes, some would be a sort of separate DOD facility within a state or a federal correctional prison. And some might be attached to an already existing military site. So either way, there's some sort of construction and sort of, you know, one-time costs involved in this, and it's possible they'd be building a whole nother building connected to an already existing prison or base.
And the idea is the Guantanamo Naval Base, U.S. held for such a long time in Cuba, would remain, but the detention center would be closed, I guess. Here was Ted Cruz, this was last night in Fernley, Nevada, telling a cheering crowd that that's not the way he would go.
You know, just today, President Obama announced his plans to try to shut down Guantanamo terrorist detention facilities. Let me say this, Mr. President. Don't shut down Gitmo. Expand it, and let's have some new terrorists there.
Okay, that's another way. And here was Kansas Republican Senator Pat Roberts. He posted a video on Twitter in which, this is yesterday, he crumples up the plan to close Guantanamo and throws it in the garbage to show his disapproval.
This is what I think of the president's plan to send terrorists to the United States.
Okay. Kathleen Hennessey, White House correspondent for the Associated Press. Ted Cruz is campaigning against Democrats and to win the White House, so maybe we get that. But what's the heart of the Republican opposition to the push to close Guantanamo?
Well, I think there are a few arguments. I mean, for someone like Pat Roberts, I mean, one of the sites being considered is Fort Leavenworth in Kansas. So he has a sort of local concern. There has long been opposition to the idea of moving these folks to the United States on the argument that this is a security concern, that these folks are most dangerous of dangerous, and that they shouldn't be brought into our communities, that they pose a threat. That was part of the argument that Republicans laid out yesterday. Another element is, yesterday we heard a lot more of the idea that this proposal that the president put forward was not a serious plan. It was sort of vague and not specific enough, and doesn't really make a detailed case for why these folks should be moved to the U.S. Why what's wrong with just leaving them where they are. I think that was the thrust among Republican leaders was this doesn't move the ball. It doesn't identify a site. It doesn't deal with some of the legal questions. It doesn't make a strong enough case.
The president, of course, as you said many times before, said it actually harms American national security, the American reputation, said the existence is a net drag on national security.
It undermines it. This is not just my opinion. This is the opinion of experts. This is the opinion of many in our military. It's counterproductive to our fight against terrorists because they use it as propaganda in their efforts to recruit.
Kathleen Hennessey is White House correspondent for the Associated Press. Do Republicans really not buy that? Or they see that there is that downside, but it's still worth it? What, is strictly because these are too dangerous to bring here? We've got a lot of dangerous criminals, including of this type in our prisons in this country.
I think that there's some element of folks that who don't buy that, or that's not reason enough, that they would, you know, that some of these extremists would use anything as propaganda, and that you can't let policy be determined by that factor.
We've seen the orange jumpsuits on the deserts mm-hmm. in Syria, sort of mirroring those in Guantanamo when the heads get cut off. It's gross when they're cut off, but it looks like a reference to Guantanamo right there.
It does, and that's precisely what the administration points to over and over again as their evidence of propaganda. The orange jumpsuit has become a symbol. I think part of the argument is that they're not convinced that would go away, even if you moved these detainees into the United States, into another facility on U.S. soil. I think there are concerns about, even though the administration says there would be no shift in these folks' legal status, but I think there are concerns about whether or not that means that some of these detainees might see a trial, are more likely to see a trial. I think in general there are a lot of concerns, not just among the opponents to this plan, about what happens down the road. And as we continue to, wage various counterterrorism operations, what do we do with folks that we pick up on the battlefield, say, in Syria? And where do they go? And what is their status? And those issues were not specifically outlined in the plan the president proposed yesterday.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the president's latest, maybe last, push on Guantanamo to close the detention center he targeted on his first hours, a couple of days in office. Right now, the odds do not look good for closing, but he's out and pushing again yesterday. Kathleen Hennessey is with us, White House correspondent for the Associated Press. We're going to hear a couple of very experienced voices in the politics and security issues and constitutional issues of Guantanamo in just a moment. You can join us in this hour. Are you glad the president is still pushing on this? And what do you think of his plan? Send some abroad, some come here, and then done? Is the president right? It's costing us more in money, reputation, moral standing, ISIS recruitment than we're gaining. And if it's, so wrong, so costly, why are its backers standing so firmly by it, by the detention center in Guantanamo? The campaign trail in 2007, all the way back then, Barack Obama told the audience at the Iowa Jefferson Jackson dinner, it's never okay to torture, and made a campaign promise he has yet to fulfill.
As president, I will end the war in Iraq. We will have our troops home in 16 months. I will close Guantanamo. I will restore habeas corpus.
He is not alone in wanting it closed. Here was Bernie Sanders at a Democratic town hall in Columbia, South Carolina, last night on Guantanamo and the American reputation.
We look like hypocrites and fools to the entire world. We have locked people up in an island. And I think that has hurt us all over the world.
Marco Rubio, Senator Rubio, going just the other way in Las Vegas yesterday.
Not only are we not going to close Guantanamo, when I'm president, if we capture a terrorist alive, they're not getting a court hearing in Manhattan. They're not going to be sent to Nevada. They're going to Guantanamo. And we're going to find out everything they know.
Kathleen Hennessey, please stand by in Washington. With us now from New York is Pardis Cabrillai. She's a senior attorney with the Center for Constitutional Rights, a legal advocacy group founded in 1966 by the famed William Kunstler, among others. She's visited the Guantanamo Detention Center dozens of times, has met with and represented over a dozen detainees there. Pardis, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
And from Nashville, Tennessee, another voice very experienced in Guantanamo, Michael Newton, is with us, an expert on war crimes law, international law, teaches law at Vanderbilt University, was involved with the Bush administration in the initial planning meetings to set up Guantanamo almost 15 years ago. Currently, he's involved in an interagency advisory group focused on legal issues around Guantanamo and its possible closing. Mike Newton, great to have you with us as well.
Hi, Tom. Thanks. I think you're doing a real public service to have this kind of a thoughtful discussion.
We're trying. We try every day. Pardis, you have spent a lot of time there. Mike's been very involved as well. Kathleen's watching all this from Washington. What do you think of the president's latest push? There, I guess, big issues here. Will it be closed and should it be closed? Let's start with should, Pardis.
It should be closed. I think the bottom line point I would make is that it's not just about shuttering the prison. It's not just about literally closing the facility in Cuba. It's about ending the policy that makes Guantanamo so infamous, which is a policy of holding people indefinitely without charge. And I think, bottom line, one of the troubling things, in our view, about President Obama's plan is that it envisions continuing to hold some number of people without charge indefinitely. So that isn't closing Guantanamo, that is continuing it and relocating it.
So that's the just moving Guantanamo north argument, and you would not be for that. But that means that you are not willing to see these as prisoners of war.
Well, one thing I want to say, though, is just as a practical matter, I mean, there is a legal matter about how to classify them, and there is certainly a moral matter. But as a practical matter, I want to be clear about the number of people we are actually talking about keeping Guantanamo open for, mm-hmm. or setting up a new prison in the United States for. So as Kathleen was saying, there are 91 people in Gitmo now. 35 of them have currently been cleared for transfer. And, you know, what that means, we also need to be clear about. That means that the Secretary of Defense, every time there is a transfer out of Guantanamo, he signs off on that transfer. Those are approvals for transfer made by senior intelligence, law enforcement, defense officials.
What is your point with that? We know they're trying to draw down the number.
What I wanted to say, and Kathleen had referenced the possibility of moving about 60 people mm-hmm. to the United States or keeping that many in Gitmo, and I think that's not true. There are currently about 46 people who are waiting, who are not going to be charged, who the administration does not intend to charge. Charges are not against them right now. They are waiting for a process of government review. Those are people who very well could be approved for transfer. So that 35 approved for transfer number is not a static number. That number will likely grow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think at the end of the day, the number of people who will not be approved for transfer and who could not be dealt with through some sort of judicial process could be under one or two dozen. So as a practical factual matter, we would be talking about keeping open Guantanamo in Cuba or setting up a brand new prison here for that number of people. And I mean, that's just, it's not necessary. And then there are all sorts of legal and moral problems with that.
I want to go to Mike, but does that mean in the space of 4 minutes there, you've gone from a high philosophical critique of this to just the money argument that the Obama administration makes is too expensive to keep 2 dozen people down there?
I think they're both equally strong arguments. I think there's a practical argument to make, and I think there is certainly a legal argument to make. And I mean, if part of the reason to close Guantanamo is about being true to our ideals in terms of the rule of law and as a national security matter, I don't see how moving indefinitely detainees from Guantanamo to a prison here meets those objectives.
Mike Newton at Vanderbilt, is there a solid argument, given the cost, given the moral and legal ambiguity and reputation cost that we hear about, is there a solid argument for keeping it open?
Well, I would agree with Pardis in one thing that she said. The question is, this really is a watershed moment, whichever way it goes. If it closes, I totally agree that if we don't address the core legal issues, then it's really just sort of a shallow symbolic move. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about 10 days after the president took office, the question came up, what's going to happen with prosecutions and potential disciplinary action? And he made it a point to say it's time to look forward. It's time to move to a new chapter. And in explaining that time period, he said the people that really worked in the beginning of Guantanamo and wrote the torture memos at DOJ, et cetera, were trying to solve novel legal problems in a very compressed time period. Yeah, that's 15 years ago.
Yes, it is.
Right. So the United States has had a badly stained reputation because of Guantanamo, and it has deeply strained relationships. But the core of those strains, the core of the current national security implications are the remaining disputes about the legal issues. And, you know, I laughed when Kathleen said the core legal issues aren't specifically addressed. They're not addressed at all.
Meaning
that's the problem.
The absence of habeas corpus, the classification of these as prisoners of war for years and years. What's the core issue?
The core issue is, and the president acknowledges this but doesn't spell it out, they're not prisoners of war, no question about that, under the Third Geneva Convention. They simply don't meet mm-hmm. in a non-international armed conflict because you're not fighting state versus state. Mm-hmm. These are non-state actors, in many cases simply private citizens. They're not prisoners of war. And if they were, you know, the president in the memo says to Congress that in previous practice when we've brought people detained under law of war authorities to the United States, they've not been subject, for example, to apply for asylum under the immigration laws. Well, that's true because they've been prisoners of war.
Mm-hmm.
The legal regime is very clearly established. It doesn't apply to these people. But neither are they just innocent civilians. There's some law of war detention authority that's implicit in Common Article 3 of the Geneva Conventions. But since Guantanamo opened, we have not negotiated with our allies and with our friends to answer the really hard questions. How long do we hold these people? And what is the legal authority? And what are the review authorities? So the problem with closing Guantanamo just from a military national security position is that what you've really said is one of two possibilities. Either we let other people detain prisoners on our behalf. We're just outsourcing
moving
our
abroad.
National
yep.
security.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And not just the ones that we have, but I'm talking about the future, the other people that we would mm-hmm. like to be detained and like to be interrogated. We're simply outsourcing that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, of course, you've created the moral hazard that says we don't want to detain them at all. We will simply kill them whenever we find them, which I don't think is a viable option.
Are you – given all this, are you sorry in retrospect, Mike, that you were involved with doing the groundwork for Guantanamo in the first place?
Oh, no. I'm actually very proud. Mm-hmm. We worked despite the public perception, we worked in extremely good faith to work through the core legal issues. We were shut off in policy ways, and I do think the president's right. The time pressure that administration political officials felt, the time window between when Guantanamo was first talked about and the first people showed up mm-hmm. was vanishingly small.
Yeah.
That's why you saw those first
we remember
old
it well.
Images out
yeah,
there.
Stumbling off the plane in the orange jumpsuits and the blindfold, the goggles, right? I mean, it just, yeah. boom, it was there.
Right. And the dog wire and yeah. the chain link fences. Well, that's ancient, literally ancient history. Today, it's a state-of-the-art federal penitentiary built to the most modern standards and all. You know, it's ancient history, as is the enhanced interrogation tactics.
But the
so
legal issues.
So I think
we
really need to look to the future, and the
yeah.
legal issues remain deeply divided. So unless we solve – I think the president's right. How long are we going to let this linger on is what he said and what he said in the soundbite that you played. But for me, the lingering issue – Guantanamo is a symbol of the lingering issue. The lingering issue are the rights to detain people – under the laws of war, as opposed to the normal criminal law process. You know, the full range of human rights law says when they hit United States soil, try me or release me. Either we prosecute them or they have an absolute right to be let go. The government
yep.
simply cannot detain people indefinitely under human rights law and federal law with no charges. But on the other hand, the president has a constitutional obligation, as will the next president, to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies and the American people. There are enemies out there. And to the extent that we just say, well, we're going to ignore the future problems in our right to detain people, we haven't really done anything.
We are looking at the president's latest and maybe last push on Guantanamo. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. So many questions on the table. We will go to them and to our listeners, Lori in Normal, Illinois. Lori, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a couple of quick questions. One is, I just am wondering whether this is more of Republicans playing the political game of let's shoot down absolutely everything that Obama brings up, especially since Bush himself had wanted to close it. And secondly, is if there's fear on the Republicans' part, and certainly there's a lot of public fear about, you know, this question of terrorists on our soil, I guess I totally don't understand whether the idea that they're terrorists means that people think that they can magically float through the walls of a maximum security prison. I don't understand people's fear of them being, quote, on our soil.
Lori, I appreciate your call. Let me take that to Kathleen Hennessy. Is it a genuine threat of these guys somehow getting out of supermax prisons that I've never heard of? Or you hear Lori ask, saying, is this just kind of, I guess, fear mongering?
I think that, I mean, the White House will happily point to any number of, a sort of a short list of folks who've been charged and convicted of terrorism who we are keeping safely in our prison system at the moment. And, I mean, even a few months ago, one of the president's national security, national security advisors, Ben Rhodes, mentioned if we can bring El Chapo to the United States, we could certainly bring these folks. I think as far as on the campaign trail, you have to remember the particular moment these Republicans are running in a nomination contest where the electorate has strongly embraced, or many in the electorate have strongly embraced, the idea of not letting any Muslims into the United States on a temporary basis out of concern, security
Trump
concerns.
Position. Mm-hmm.
The Trump position, but that's been echoed in you know, exit and entrance polling to be a pretty broadly embraced position among the Republican base at the moment. So I just think it is not all that surprising, given that climate, that the rhetoric about, bringing terrorists to U.S. soil has some potency.
The president says, look, we're already doing it. We can do it just fine. Here he was yesterday.
We're already holding a bunch of really dangerous terrorists here in the United States because we threw the book at them. And there have been no incidents. We've managed it just fine.
Margaret in Leon, Iowa. Margaret, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Marjorie.
Marjorie, yeah.
I think it's really crazy what he wants to do. I believe they need to keep Guantanamo Bay open. I think that we might as well just open all the jails and let everybody out.
But no one's talking about just letting everybody out. So why are you, Marjorie? I mean, he says he wants to put them into supermax prison. That's the opposite of being out, right?
Well, still they can break out and do all kinds of things, even if it came to the United States. I have a daughter that was raped by three Mexicans that came over here, and she was mentally retarded, and the judge wanted to know, did they know that she was mentally retarded? And that's another reason why I think we need to keep these in there. They're going to be a danger to the United States.
Marjorie, I'm really sorry for what happened with your daughter. I'm really sorry about that. I don't know exactly how it goes to the issue of Guantanamo, but I appreciate your call. I mean, Pardis, what would you do? Mike says there are big issues here. We have this new kind of warfare. It produces, we end up with people on our hands. And what are you going to do, summarily execute them in the desert or do something? Do what?
You know, I just want to address the last caller's point just about the fear and the reason for that. I think that is in part because the American public has never had an opportunity to interact with anyone who has ever been held at Guantanamo. When I go to the base and I meet people there and I sit across from the table from them, when I leave, everything that I bring out is filtered. When men are transferred to other countries, they're always to third countries in Europe, in Latin America, in Australia, in Canada. The publics there can interact, but no one is obviously coming to the United States. So there is never a moment where people here can get up close and judge for themselves. And I wish that you didn't have to rely on attorneys.
You think they would be calmed and to sort of meet these guys? I mean,
I think that there is a way that people at Guantanamo are demonized, and you know, become sort of larger than life in terms of the threat that they pose, and a way that people opposed to the closure of Guantanamo, politicians, have been able to sort of capitalize on the distance between the public and the prisoners to sort of fill that vacuum with their own rhetoric. And I think that's done a lot to create fear. I think the administration also has not done its part to educate the public about the facts about who we have held there historically and who is being held there now. Most of them, almost half of them, are people the administration has said are not security threats. So there's just a lot that isn't understood factually about who we're holding at Guantanamo.
This On Point podcast is supported by Squarespace, the simplest way to create a beautiful website. Whether your passion is bold, unconventional, or just plain crazy, you should share it with the world in an unforgettable way. Start your free trial today at squarespace.com/onpoint. That's squarespace.com/onpoint.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about the president's latest, maybe last, push on Guantanamo. Kathleen Hennessy is with us, White House correspondent for the Associated Press. Pardis Cabrillai is with us from the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York City. Michael Newton is with us from Nashville, Tennessee, teaches law at Vanderbilt University. You can join us this hour. If it's so wrong, so costly, why are its backers standing so firmly by it, the detention center at Guantanamo? Is this a stain on America's own values? Is it necessary? Do you see a problem with bringing these prisoners to the U.S.? Should the Guantanamo prison close? That's it. The president yesterday, the Roosevelt Room at the White House, saying not only is it a recruiting tool for terrorists now, it offends America's own allies.
Guantanamo harms our partnerships with allies and other countries whose cooperation we need against terrorism. When I talk to other world leaders, they bring up the fact that Guantanamo's not resolved. Moreover, keeping this facility open is contrary to our values.
But Mike Newton says, look, we're at a watershed moment here. The president is trying to bring us there, I guess, and we're there, whether he takes us there or not. Different ways to go here. Guantanamo all mixed up with the allegations of torture. Donald Trump at a GOP debate earlier this month, I mean, think about this. He said, look what's going on in the Middle East. Waterboarding, which got so much attention at the height of the war on terror, he said he'd do a lot worse than that.
In the Middle East, we have people chopping the heads off Christians. We have people chopping the heads off many other people. I would bring back waterboarding, and I'd bring back a hell of a lot worse than waterboarding.
Okay, whatever that means, I want to get our expert's view on that and hear from a couple of you as well. Nathan in Austin, Texas. Nathan, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. One of your previous callers touched on my point that I think this is primarily GOP blustering, standing in the corner, holding their breath, stomping their feet. You know, they don't want to do anything that moves the president's agenda forward. But I think one of your guests also touched on a point that in the absence of real information out of Guantanamo, we can't have access to the detainees when they're released. All we're hearing from is lawyers, and worse, we're hearing the rhetoric from the politicians saying these guys are bad, they're horrible, which I'm sure they are, but we're not getting any firsthand information. And, I mean, it's been proven that the candidates lie outright. Ted Cruz stating that the crosses and the Stars of David being sandblasted off of tombstones. I mean, these guys say whatever they want, and people are believing it, and it's coming back to this issue of Guantanamo.
Nathan, I appreciate your call, but we've got values and principles and national security on the line here. Michael Newton, what would you do? You helped set it up. What would you do? We're almost 15 years later. What should we do?
Well, a couple of things. You know, I argued from almost day one that Common Article 3 applied, which is the specific piece of the Geneva Conventions. It took several years of litigation for the Supreme Court to agree with that position.
Meaning what?
First thing,
the first thing is
you continue the Obama policy. President Obama was exactly right. And the reason there's such a stained reputation and strained relationships was because of the enhanced interrogation techniques that happened at Guantanamo. You continue and very firmly state that is not U.S. policy. Those are not U.S. values. That will not and and should not ever be tolerated. And more importantly, the people who perpetrate those things into the future will be prosecuted. The other big thing, though—
You're saying Obama's done that, and that's good. Step away from torture.
We have to restate that and continue that policy very firmly. The second thing is, remember that over 500 people were transferred in the Bush administration and roughly 150 under the Obama administration. It's very easy to say, oh, yes, we're going to transfer people. What people
you mean out of Guantanamo to a third country?
Out of Guantanamo or any other place. Yep. The problem is that's extremely hard to do. It's incredibly labor-intensive. There's still about a 35 to 40% recidivism rate. Even given the very intensive bureaucracy that goes into trying to move people, we have to get humanitarian assurances.
What do you mean by recidivism? You mean they get out of prison somewhere abroad and then commit another act of terror? And
no, I mean they go back. Right, they go back into the terror fight. That's documented in congressional reporting. So, you know, the idea that we can just transfer people and that the problem has been we've been unwilling to transfer people, that's not true. So I think we need to very much improve. Again, this gets to my point. We need to negotiate with allies for a much better way of facilitating rapid transfers to other countries and from other countries.
But why would they want to take these cases where we can't even figure out what's going on? It ends up being very hard to know what's really justice. We can't resolve it. We don't resolve it. So we just ship it to them and say, here's our problem. You deal with it. And if they come back in a terror act, we're going to be upset?
Well, you make my point, Tom. Yeah. You know, not addressing the core legal issues here is sort of like a kid who doesn't want to eat mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving and puts them under the cushion of a chair and then pretends they're not there.
Yep.
The difficulty of transferring people to other countries, getting the requisite diplomatic assurances, the national security assurances and the humane assurances is extremely difficult. And right now we have no really effective way of doing that rapidly or following it up. Similarly, I don't think we have a very, very swift and fluid extradition process. So there's great moral hazards on all sides of this. And then the big thing, you ask what needs to happen is we have got to get busy. At the core, there are about three dozen detainees who are absolutely deemed unfit for release. They are, in fact, a national security and a lingering national security threat. So Kathleen's right that many Guantanamo detainees have been demonized in the popular opinion. There's over 650 of them out there now who have written books, who have done blogs. If people want to know about them, they can read that. But this hardcore of about three dozen, and again, I make my point, I think that's likely to grow in the future because this is a perma-war.
So what do you do?
Away.
What do you do?
I think you get with allies. I think we need in that specific way, the only real hard law we have is one provision of the Geneva Conventions, Common Article 3. I think we need to have a separate protocol negotiated with our allies. And it's easy to say, well, there's the lawyer throwing more law at it.
Yeah.
For the last 15 years, the reason our alliances have been strained and the reason we have suffered such a reputational loss and cost because of Guantanamo is precisely that, because we said with a lot of bluster, we have legal authority, trust us, we're just going to do it. And we've not spent the last 15 years solidifying that legal authority with our allies, working with the International Red Cross, working with the people who really are the experts in this field. And so the legal uncertainty is almost as great today as it was the day Guantanamo opened. You ask what I would do, the pathway to the future is in really dramatically working with our allies to clarify this legal future. And it's not just for this fight. We're talking about al-Shabaab. You're talking about the insurgents in Mali. You're talking about exactly ISIS in Syria, ISIS offshoots in Iraq and Libya. This is a problem that is not going away. And to continue to fail address it, to me, is national security malpractice.
I want to go to Kathleen Hennessy in just a moment on the issue of President Obama and executive authority, whether he might try and just do this over Congress. But Pardis, first to you, because you know Guantanamo very well. You spent a lot of time there. You spent a lot of time with detainees there. And you know the core constitutional legal principle issues here. So what would you do?
Tom, I have to sort of address a couple of Mike's points because goes to this issue of the misunderstanding about the facts about Guantanamo. On this point of about 36 detainees who are simply not fit for release, that's not correct. There are about 36 people whose status has not been reviewed for over 6 years. Those are people who are going through a current process. It's called the Periodic Review Board process.
Are you talking about the same 36, or are you just disagreeing about who's a threat and who's not?
No, I'm talking about the population at Guantanamo. Mm-hmm. There are about 46 people who – this category of too dangerous to release is a category that is currently under review, and we've got to be clear about that. So it is not that there is a static number of people the administration has currently said, you know, these guys are just too dangerous. We can't charge them, but we absolutely can't release them.
But let's not get hung up on the number. If there are people too dangerous to release, then you have the issue of what to do with them.
Well, this category of too dangerous to release, but we can't charge is, I mean, as a legal matter, international law does not recognize or support that category. Mm-hmm. In a situation of armed conflict against non-state actors, the law ultimately requires you to charge or transfer that person. The idea that you can hold someone for 14, 15 two decades, years without charge is simply not supported by the law.
So what would you do? Would you go with Mike, go out to our allies at least and negotiate a new framework for this non-state conflict era whereby there's some more sort of, I don't know, legal but path for the nebulous players?
Well, if you accept what the law says, which is that prolonged detention without charge in the types of conflicts we see the U.S. engaged in right now is not permitted by law, then ultimately those people need to be transferred or charged. And that is actually the policy position that the Obama administration is taking. They have been using Article III courts and bringing prosecutions against people against whom they have evidence of crimes. That is also the path forward that President Obama outlined in his speech yesterday.
So he said for anyone— bring charges within the U.S. legal system or ship them somewhere else. That also seems like kind of bumping the problem down the road, doesn't it?
It's not bumping the problem down the road. The law, I mean, if we're talking about what the law allows, international law in this type of armed conflict situation does not allow for prolonged, potentially indefinite detention without charge. If someone, if there is evidence of crimes, those people need to be charged. Otherwise, they need to be transferred. That is the very problem of indefinite detention at Guantanamo right now. And I think we've sort of, over the years, come to this place of just accepting that indefinite detention without charge of people, if we're talking about terrorists, is legally permissible. It's not. It's certainly the position the United States has taken, but that doesn't make it lawful. And if you look at statements from the United Nations, from other countries in the world, that is part of the problem with Guantanamo. It's not just the torture that happened there and that continues, frankly, to happen there in some to some degree, but it is this concept and this embrace of indefinite detention that is part of the core of Guantanamo that much of the rest of the world takes issue with, and that's, you know, unfortunately the position the Bush and Obama administration have embraced.
Breaking the law year after year. We're looking at Guantanamo. The president says, close it down. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Kathleen Hennessey, White House correspondent for the AP, patiently listening along with us there in Washington. Is the Obama administration saying those that we bring into Supermax, let's say facilities run by the DOD in the U.S., would have charges brought against them? Or are they saying, no, we're just going to bring them here and let them sit in a cell and continue to have this extra legal status?
They are not saying one way or the other specifically, at least not in this. At this particular moment. I mean, the president noted yesterday that that there would continue to be review and that the folks that would be brought here would not, that the process of periodic review or the process of evaluating whether or not these folks would be brought before the military commissions would not end once they get here. So the sense that this is not a static number, I think that's accurate, but it's not, he wasn't specific on exactly how many folks that might apply to, or and he did then also hint that the administration would like to see some reforms to the Military Commission Act, which he did institute some earlier in his administration. He was critical, again, of the process, saying it just goes on too long, it's ineffective. But again, he didn't outline exactly what those were. So I think that, you know, the broader picture is, at least from this proposal he's put forward, that the limbo for these folks would just continue. They would just be relocated.
Couple of calls, and
Tom,
I'll come to you, Mike.
Can I clarify the law here very quickly?
Okay,
though?
Mike.
It's not just prolonged detention. The human rights standard is prolonged and arbitrary detention. And Kathleen's right. If we're dealing in human rights norms, that's exactly the right rule. But the law of armed conflict premise, which the president adopts specifically, allows prolonged detention, provided that it's not arbitrary. That's why the continuous detainee review process is so important, to say these people do remain a threat and there is a valid national security basis. And in the president's policy, he says informed by the law of war, which is specifically saying that there's a national security basis for holding that group, whether it's three dozen or, you know, four dozen, or maybe over time it comes down to 20. But there is a hard core of people who cannot be prosecuted, who immediately go back to killing Americans. And the president's position is that there is a law of war basis to hold them. I agree with that. The problem is that for the last 15 years, we've simply said that, and we haven't fleshed out this very unresolved body of law, precisely what that means in terms of international standards. Yep. So Kathleen's right. There aren't a lot of international standards out there beyond the core authority to hold people.
And we've just asserted that and then floated with it there. Patrick in Fisherville, Virginia, the last call I'm going to get to today, Patrick. Thank you. You're on the air.
Hey. Hello, Tom. Hello, all. So I am a medically retired service person who has deployed around and have seen this on the ground. I've seen my friends die. I've seen my friends come back home and kill themselves. 22 veterans a day are killing themselves. And I can't help but to feel that we went over there with the honorable intention of truly defending freedom and democracy around the world, yet our government is so incredibly hypocritical and detaining people that is absolutely against every American ideal that our nation was founded on. And we are in turn creating more people and more danger to ourselves. If these people are guilty, then bring them to an American court and put them on trial, just like we say that all humans have the right to. All humans have this right. It is a human right.
Patrick, we've got it. We've got it. And we're right up against the clock. Kathleen Hennessy, can you see the president going to an executive order if Congress does not move on this?
Oh, I think that's I wouldn't speculate on that. I think it's certainly in the air. I have no doubt that it has been considered. I think that the current discussion of the Supreme Court muddles everything for him for the next year, and I couldn't speculate, but it will continue to be part of the conversation.
Sounds like
it would
be a very tall order by my lights, but who knows? We'll see. Kathleen Hennessy, White House correspondent for the Associated Press, thank you very much for being with us today, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Pardis Kebriay with the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York City. Pardis, thank you so much for your insights today.
Thanks, Tom.
And Mike Newton at Vanderbilt University teaching law there. Mike, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, thanks for all your comments and thoughts. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.